Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. This is going to be airing, I believe, Tuesday, the 27th of January, heading toward the final week of January already on our new year of 2026.
That's so crazy, right?
Time marches on, doesn't it? And life continues. And I know you've had a great Christmas, and you're getting ready to send off your son and daughter-in-law.
Yes. That's crazy. It was a really good Christmas. I know we haven't really caught up even after your travels and skiing and cruise and all that too. It was a sweet Christmas around here. There were some interesting little bumps, norovirus that hit a couple people in our family and all kinds of different things like that. But it was a sweet, sweet Christmas. And now today, as we're taping this, what is today? January 8th.
Yep.
Is our send-off dinner for Caleb and Liv. They fly out tomorrow morning to Oregon. I probably don't want to talk about that a whole lot today, but mixed bag, definitely excitement at what God has in store for them. And he has spoken so much ahead of it and done some amazing, miraculous things, even laying it all out. Yet we're all going to be pretty sad.
Yeah. I've not fully that same, but you know, we're sending our two grandsons back to college.
Right. When do they leave again?
End of this week.
Okay. But they're taking the trees down first.
Take the trees down first for Linda. And Joshua he'll be graduating. This is his last semester.
Yeah. This is Anna's last semester too. Crazy how quickly. Yeah. I still remember interviewing he and Reagan and Anna as they were, you know, talking about college choices. And now here they go.
Yeah. What's she going to do next?
She is double major, secondary ed and chemistry. And so her desire is to teach in a high school chemistry.
Okay. Okay. Will she be able to do that as she graduates, or she has to go get her certificate, or what does she have to do?
No, I mean, that she'll have it all done. She's done all the testing and stuff already. So once she graduates, she'll be ready to go. She'll already have a handful of master's classes under her belt just because she was ahead of the curve.
Yeah. Is she looking already for position, and where is she looking?
They start that process in March. That's when I think teachers have to commit to if they're coming back the following year, so they have a better idea of what the openings will be. So she'll be looking at that. She's got some good connections already of some schools that want her to keep them on their radar. And so that is very good. She had a great experience with her student teaching, but that's a pretty tough district to get into. I'm not sure if there will be an opening in the next couple of years for that. Somebody kind of has to retire to get into that one. But God has a plan, and I know she's excited to see it unfold. She has a handful of schools already asking her to put in there. So we'll see how that unfolds. But she really, that's her gift set. She loves it. Dan kind of laughs every now and then. He's like, a chemistry degree, girl. Do you know what all you could do with that? Her passion and her gifting is teaching, though. And the way that she works with kids is just incredible. And so for her to be on the front lines in those public schools right now, it's a good thing.
Yeah, that's great. The Joshua, he's he'll graduate in May, but he's already got his position with Lockheed Martin set up. And he's entering the management program. After you get accepted as an employee, you then have the opportunity to apply to get into the management program. And he did. And there's not very many that are selected, but he was selected. And he'll do a three-year rotation in three different locations and three different business units with different roles and different bosses.
Now, does he know where those will be? Will they all be in Dallas, just different positions?
No, he starts in Orlando.
Does he? Good for him.
So it'll be probably, it could be Orlando, Denver, Texas, Arkansas, and he'll have to see which way they send him. And at the end of the 3 years, he'll be put into a management role, and he'll probably be able to kind of pick and choose where does he want to go and who does he want to go with. And you know, they kind of give them a lot of freedom to, you know, get ready and get trained, and then we'll put you in the right spot to start with. So he'll probably wind up in Texas because his girlfriend, who they're pretty serious with, is she graduated already, and she is headed toward a master's in counseling.
Hmm.
And so she's got to finish that school.
Is she still at Baylor for her master's or somewhere else?
She, interesting enough, she had 5, 6, 7 schools that she applied to, and Baylor accepted her and gave her a full ride.
Nice.
So she's going to Baylor.
That's a big deal too, because that's not an inexpensive venture, right?
No. So, but she's from Houston. Her family's from Houston. And
okay.
She said, you know, if I'm in Baylor and get my certificates, probably be Texas, I'll be licensed.
Right.
So ideally they would like to, you know, if they do.
And Lockheed Martin's headquarters are there, right?
Fort Worth. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So they can go back there. So it'll be interesting to see, but it's always fun. Like you said, you know, you and I can remember they were just trying to figure out what school to go to.
Right.
And God said here, and then to see them be led, you know, follow, get to the point where, you know, they did really well in school, and now they're off, you know, to their careers. It's a fun thing.
We should actually, for kicks, we should have a joint episode that is Reagan, Josh, and Anna.
Yeah.
Like post-graduation, and just a little follow-up after that would be fun, right?
Yeah, that would be fun, and talk about a few key moments, you know, during the path and that guided them, you know, into these things. So it's kind of fun. So we're processing, you know, forgiveness, reconciliation. We've gone through, you know, forgiveness, and we've gone through the ideal reconciliation, which is speak the truth, process the truth, the other party. And this is when, you know, somebody has hurt you. I see what I've done. I'm sorry for what I've done. And what can I do? And what can we do to make it right? Either it's just what we call systemic. And that is that something I'm doing is consistently hurting you. So I got to change it. Or it illustrated something I need to do differently or make sure I do it differently. So what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And then once the party who's offended says that works for me, and I now receive that, we're back to full, what we call full reconciliation. There's no more negative energy of any kind, and we can continue to be in relationship, knowing that in even good relationships, and this particularly between a husband and a wife, is that because of personality differences, different opportunities of what happens every week, every month, you're going to be in a position where you hurt somebody, you know, all the time, you know? So that's kind of a need to just keep practicing that. And in what we call don't carry over any resentment of any kind.
Yeah.
Which means we have to get it really fully reconciled, and it's not partial, so that I build up a resentment because you keep doing it. Yeah. You say you're sorry, but nothing really changes. And I'm mad about that, you know? And then what that does is that builds a piece of your heart that is not free.
Right.
And God says, no, I want you to keep practicing that freedom and go to forgiveness, talk truth, reconcile, release.
Mm-hmm.
And do it consistently and do it all the time so that you and your spouse, particularly you and your close friends, because we are going to hurt each other, we just learn how to move through that and keep that beautiful relationship without any then residual, what I call residual judgment, where I'm looking for them to, you know, violate something, and then I'm going to, you know, come back with my anger. No, I have freedom, and I don't even think that way. Yeah, okay, it happened. Something happened, but we know how to do this, you know. And God said, that's ideal. Well, that was, and think about it, it takes two parties.
Mm-hmm.
And just think, Kathy, if it takes two parties, what do both parties have to have a heart to go do?
They have to have a heart to reconcile, to seek God on this and let him work them to both forgiveness and reconciliation.
Yeah. It's like, I want to, I'm willing to be a participant on both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I've offended you and I got to do it, or you've offended me and I've got to stay with it. And I'm just inviting you, because the best and highest, and God says this is true, is that both of you work it through and are fully reconciled. That's the highest and best. And he said, That's my will every time, 100% of the time. If you both do that, he says, you will both have freedom and you'll grow in flaws of your own life that need to be addressed. Like we've talked about the situation with me being late. Well, it illustrated a flaw, which was I was overscheduling, and that was causing trouble, both interesting enough for Linda, but actually was causing me stress and frustration. I wasn't at peace either because I'm doing something that I haven't dealt with, you know, and God says, right. Hey, it's time to deal with this. Let me help you. And by the way, when I did, and I did this particularly a long time ago, was I literally went from consistently being late, consistently being frustrated, to punctual, because
Linda probably didn't know what to think.
Yeah. That, you know, I wasn't good, and I truly wasn't good at it. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, there's a pride there and there's all kinds of stuff, I wasn't myself saying I need to resolve this. Mm-hmm. But when it started to come out, because I have a heart to reconcile, because I have a heart to walk with God, and because, you know, why don't you want the very best? I do.
Right.
God said, let me help you deal with this. And how you do things has got to change. It'll be for the better of it. And then I'm going to teach you to actually be punctual. And of course, everybody, this is kind of funny. We do retreats. We've been doing this our 25th
year. I was going to say, you're the most punctual person in that room.
That we start on time.
One of the things my husband appreciates, because he is also an extremely punctual person.
Yeah. You know, so if there's 12 of us and there's only three in the room, we're going to start, you know, and, and what that does see is it teaches people to honor that, which I had to learn the same thing, you know, is that, no, you can't show up late. You know, if you're supposed to be there at 8, be at 8. And so he freed me up from a flaw in my nature through that process. Mm-hmm. And see, the benefit is not just that Linda was able to not be hurt anymore, but the flaw in me is being healed. And he said, that's the ideal, is you both are growing, you both are processing, mm-hmm. so that you live in freedom, both currently and then over time. There's a problem when you're being hurt by somebody who's self-centered and doesn't care, and they're not going to go process with you. They're not going to do it either. They're not even going to consider it, or they spin it, you know, in a different way. And we'll talk about that. Well, God says, I can still resolve this. And what I want to set up is, because they're not going to go to reconciliation, reconciliation is not the resolution. And that's where I see a lot of people get stuck, is that, well, wait a minute, we're supposed to go reconcile.
Right.
Shouldn't that be, and shouldn't they, and God make them. Mm-hmm. And God says, well, I don't violate their free will. And no, they're not going to go there. So he says, I need you to look at a bigger process, which means I'll resolve it now for you. And it's not going to include reconciliation. Like, okay, well, what does that look like? You know, and so that's what we want to spend some time on. So Kathy, if you would read Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21.
Sure. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if you're enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Yeah. So
there's so much there we could chew on for like days and weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. And in this session, we want to just kind of walk through, you know, the essence of what God is saying here is that, you know, let love be genuine, hold fast to what is good, don't abhor evil, do abhor evil, love one another, and show honor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because of the discussion here, he's talking about when you're in conflict with somebody and they're not responding, because he's going to, you know, end this, and we'll talk about this, is that don't you take vengeance, but rather let me do it. And so he's saying, I'm describing to you when somebody is not interested mm-hmm. in reconciliation. But first of all, my resolution and God speaking, my heart is toward you.
Right.
So I want you to continue to be genuine in love, which means you're willing to let God direct traffic, abhor what is evil. And then when the word there, evil, are things that irritate, frustrate, and annoy you, is that I don't want you to say, I just accept that they're going to keep hurting me mm-hmm. and annoy me and frustrate me and make my life miserable. And he said, no, I don't want you to do that. I want you to say, no, I don't need to live that way, but live to what is good. Direct yourself toward what is good. Okay, now who defines good?
God does.
See, God does. He said, okay, so I'll lead you to a good resolution of this so that you'll be free of this, of relationship that is not going to come to reconciliation, and their hurt per se isn't going to be resolved. And two, they may be in a position where they keep are trying to hurt you and may have the power to do that because they have influence over you, their power, family, business. There's all mm-hmm. kinds of situations where somebody is impacting you and they're not going to stop trying to impact you.
Right.
And he says, I can show you the good. So pursue that. He says that live in harmony with one another and don't be prideful. Mm-hmm. So that the word harmony there would be you're attempting, just like he says later, he says, as far as it's concerning you, make an attempt to come to harmony, mm-hmm. come to unity. He said, so your heart is always toward, can we resolve this? Can we resolve this? And harmony, see, can be, they're not going to resolve it, but you can be in harmony with me, God speaking. Mm. And have freedom. So, you know, try going that way. He says, don't repay evil for evil. Mm-hmm. And then later he says, don't take vengeance.
Right.
Okay. So when he says that, you know, think about what is he saying there? Don't repay evil for evil and don't take vengeance.
Yeah. So that's when we try to take justice in our own hands, really. Right.
Yeah.
Or because they hurt us, we decide we're going to say or do, most of the time, I think it's with our own words, something that will cause them pain. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That, in other words, see, vengeance, and God says, vengeance is mine because I will set it straight. See, justice is going to be served. And he just says, don't you decide what you think you need to do to serve, set justice straight. Because, well, okay, all right, well, then I'm going to, you know, withdraw. I'm not going to talk to him anymore. I'm going to come up with a way to hurt them. I'm going to come against them. I'm going to oppose them. You're coming up with ways to take your own vengeance. And when he says evil for evil, it's that they're annoying you and you're upset, properly so. Well, don't you purposely now, I'm going to go annoy them.
Right.
And cause them trouble. And now my energy, see, is on a negative thing that I think is going to help me feel better. And guess that actually it doesn't. And I don't want, because you're annoying, they're annoying you already. But if you join that yourself, you're actually going to make things worse. And what we call in our parlance, don't hit the tar baby. Mm, you know, yeah. Don't you stimulate more and deeper level of frustration, partly because they might have power and control that if you push them, mm-hmm. they're actually going to make it worse for you. Mm. And I'm trying to get it to so that it's not worse for you. It's actually going to be good for you. But you're actually working against what God is saying I'm trying to do because you're trying to take it in your own hands.
Right. And so often when we do that, what's really going on, you know, there's a lot, I spend a lot of time looking at what is it to have good eyes. Good eyes are fixed on the Father. Right. Mm-hmm. And what he is saying, what he is speaking, what he is doing. When we take our eyes off the Father, you look at even Peter walking on the water and we put them on the storm, we get ourselves in trouble. And so often when we think we need to do something to usher in justice or to repay them or make them feel the same pain that we felt or whatever the thing is, right, that honestly, we do feel those things, those thoughts go through our mind. We need to capture those thoughts and recognize in that moment, we're actually putting our eyes on the storm. We're putting our eyes on what is going on around us, which is ultimately the enemy trying to pull us out of the kingdom. And we need good eyes. We need our eyes back on the Father. He is the Father of justice. Who is he? What does he do? Where does he say to step? Where does he say to walk? And that's a whole different thing than when we put our eyes on what we see and we will find 1,000 friends around us who will tell us how to navigate what we see and what is rightfully to be done versus putting our eyes on the Father and letting him walk us into what is truly good and clinging to the good, right?
Right, right, right. And the goal, remember, is resolution. Mm-hmm. What? Well, we're not going to reconcile. So I want to get to where this relationship doesn't bother me anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's a resolution for me either, and it can be, you know, if let's say it's a church and it's not part of your inner circle and you're not, you know, intimately involved with that person and that person doesn't want to reconcile. Mm-hmm. The resolution could be real simple is that, you know what? Just don't spend any more time around that person. That's okay. You don't need to. They're not part of your life in general. And you don't need to. And just, you know, if you're in forgiveness, you can treat that person with honor and respect, even though they're not reconciled with you. But The solution is don't even spend any time on this relationship.
Right.
Just go forward. I think I've shared that, you know, with that person that accused me of certain things because I was trying to help them discover God's will. And would you like to reconcile? I said, I'm never talking to you again. That's the end of the story. I could be resolved because, Rich, have you gone to forgiveness? Yes. Are you reconciled? No. Did you make an attempt to reconcile? Yes. Are they going to reconcile? No. Well, then just don't spend any more time around. Don't even think about it. And I didn't. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I was free and I never thought I had to set things straight. I had to, you know, make sure. You know, this isn't that significant of a relationship to you. So why don't you just relax? You know, and let it go. And that can be it. But there's other scenarios where, and we'll talk about those. Unfortunately, you can't because They are involved with you in your circle of life. And you're going to have to do it. And he says, bless them and don't curse them. We'll talk about that. Don't take vengeance yourself. Leave room for God to act because I'm going to set it straight. And he says, I want to bring you in your heart to freedom. And he said, the thing that bothers people the most is a relationship that has gone sour, That is hurting me, is controlling me, is crossing my line of justice, and they have no interest in discussing any of that or processing any of that, or if they do, it's always blaming me for it, So I can't get anywhere with it, but it bothers me.
Right.
And I think about it. And every time I see him, I get upset. Or every time I think about him, I get upset and I'm obsessed by it. He says, well, in that scenario, I've shown you that it's possible that you can have this resolved. And the resolution is for you, not for them. Interesting enough, they've actually stepped into cursing. And we'll talk about that.
Right.
Because they're not willing to process with you anything at all. And he said, They're actually rejecting you. But interesting enough, God says they're rejecting me. Why? Mm-hmm. My invitation is for them to get themselves resolved.
Right.
But they're not willing to. So they're actually stepping into cursing. And I got to help you understand that. But I don't want you to participate.
Right.
Or think you have to. How about if we just give you freedom, you know, with it? So we set up the truth of this. Now we'll start applying it to situations and talk through it. So Heavenly Father, thank you for scripture is so beautiful. You really lay it out what this looks like as we add to forgiveness, ideally reconciliation. You're saying, well, when it's not possible to reconcile, I need to help you understand that I can resolve it. And we pray that we'll process that, listen to it, and learn it because we're going to have a lot of situations like that. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you for joining us, listeners. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.